This Christmas, we return to the story before the manger, all the way to the book of Isaiah. From that book, the early church prayed, O radix, O root. As Isaiah prophesied, Jesus fulfilled. From that stump of Jesse, new life would rise. Jesus, the root of Jesse, O radix, takes what is withered and makes it whole. He upholds what does not belong and roots us deeply in his love. This is Christmas, where Christ takes root in us.
I am so proud of everyone who served, because the dignity with which they provided each individual an opportunity just to be blessed was beautiful in extending the love of God. And if you know anything about me, I'm somewhat of an introvert. So when I'm outside of my environment, I'm a little bit shy. So when I serve at stuff, I like to serve quietly, and I just like to be kind of like behind the scenes. And I overheard someone who came this week on Friday, and this is what they said. They were so thrilled, they were so blessed, and then they said, I'm gonna tell all of my friends about this next year. And I was immediately so crestfallen that I wandered away and I just began to pray. And here's why. What I heard was, I have no hope that my life is going to be any different a year from now. That I'm going to be in this exact same place a year from now. That my friends are going to be in the exact same place a year from now. And my heart began to say, in Jesus' name, no. Not from shame and not from do better, but from in Christ, there is more available. That he doesn't just change this part of our lives, he can change the entire trajectory of our stories. And I want to just speak to each of our hearts today, exactly, as we lead into this. You know, the antiphons are these adapted prayers from Isaiah's prophecies regarding Jesus. And each one begins with an O, and then it introduces Jesus by a specific title. And our second one, as you've heard, is O radix. Everyone just whisper, O radix. And it just means, O root. Because rooting shows us a different dimension to gift giving that we don't often consider. And it's what my heart began to be crestfallen in the story that I just mentioned. It's what I began to pray and intercede for. And is this, you know, we often think of gifts as something we receive. And that makes absolute sense. And we should. Every one of us needs new underwear this Christmas. I'm certain of it. I know some of mine are hanging on for dear life. They have more faith than I, but they're there and they're working and God is good. So yeah, sometimes it's in things that we receive. I'm not saying that in either other service. I don't know where that came from. None yet. It's none of your business, my undergarments. But nevertheless, so we often think of gifts as something we receive. But here's what I want you to know about God. Sometimes the greatest gifts he, and I'm talking now about your heart, okay? Just your heart, nothing else, just your heart. Sometimes the greatest gift that you will get from God or receive from God is not something that he'll give you, it's something that he'll remove from you. Again, I'm just talking about your heart now, not people, not circumstances. I'm not touching any of those situations. I'm just talking about your heart. You know, found in the Christmas story is the story of Zechariah. You may know him better as John the Baptist's dad. That's who he is. He's a priest. And for a season, the Lord takes away his voice. But then at the birth of John, his voice returns, and then he prophesies how Jesus would bring deliverance, or how the Messiah would bring deliverance. And I want you to know that in this prophecy, Zechariah says that the Messiah is coming and he's going to bring freedom. He's going to bring deliverance. And deliverance is really, really specific. It is both freedom from something, and it is then freedom for something else. In other words, if you stop at being set free from, you don't yet have the fullness of what God desires. He doesn't want to just, in your life, set you free from something. He only removes something so that he can fill us with more of himself. And so some of us right now, we're in a tug of war with God. Like, I don't want you to take this from my life. Again, I'm just talking about your heart right now. I don't want you to remove this from me, but on the other side of trust is a greater gift that he desires to give. See it this way. To root us in love, the Holy Spirit has to uproot hate from our hearts. Every single one of us. To root us in joy, he needs to remove dread. To root us in peace, he needs to first then also uproot anxiety. To root us in patience, he does need to remove some people. That was a joke. That was just a little joke. He doesn't. Don't ever pray for patience. Don't ever do it. But to root us in patience, he needs to remove an agitated spirit. This is what he needs to do to root us in patience. Once again, kids are allowed to be kids, and everyone said, amen. Amen, amen. Just singing a joyful noise unto the Lord. The book of Job speaks of roots. Everyone just whisper roots. Roots drying up beneath, and then branches become visible. In other words, how many of you know that God first starts to work in here, and then it begins to show up out there? It's an amazing thing. This is what we see in the book of Job. The book of wisdom shares that no one is established by wickedness. A great question today is, how's your heart? You know, how's your heart could be a very, very specific question for you with your circumstances. But there are some of you today who maybe woke up and saw the anti-Semitism that occurred in Australia, and your heart is moved. Maybe you watched the news yesterday and you saw another university shooting, and your heart is broken. Or perhaps you're worried about bills at home like C9 or C2118, and your heart begins to wrestle within you. How's your heart today? Your heart can be moved by things that are very, very unique to you. Or they can be moved by things that are very, very big within our world. They can be moved by things within your control and things that are seemingly out of your control. And in the midst of the world in which we live in, here's what's true of all of us, that there are these bids and these beckons for you and I to root and abide in things that are not the Lord. And they don't say, come root in me, but their invitation is ever present. Parables reveal how the gift of the gospel that we receive, what Jesus has done for us with joy immediately, can be stolen due to it never taking proper root. Everyone say root. And Romans says, if the root is holy, then the branches are going to be nourished. But in all the books of the Bible that we've just mentioned, that also mention this idea of rooting, Isaiah makes a prophetic declaration that came true at Christmas. And here's what it says in Isaiah 11, 1 to 2, and then verse 10. Then a shoot or a root will grow up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And on that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all peoples. The nations will look to him for guidance, and his resting place will be glorious. And so we see here that the idea of a Messiah coming into the world, which is the story of Christmas, is going to have this rootedness to it. O radix, O root. First for the Jewish people, but later all nations are going to be grafted into him, as this was the original promise that God made to Abraham. In Romans chapter 15, verse 12, it says this. It says, the root of Jesse will appear, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. The Gentiles will hope in him. And so at Christmas, we remind one another, as I am reminding you today, as the early church wrote this antiphon, O radix, or O root, as a reminder that you can receive Christ, and that is spectacularly glorious, but simultaneously you need to ask yourself, have I received Christ, and am I abiding, am I rooting in him? Or am I rooting in something else? And here's what I want you to know. Don't be too quick to answer that question. Invite the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. So here's the question. How's your heart these days? How's your heart these days? Some of you are like, I don't even know. That ain't good. I'm really like, I'm doing great. To God be the glory. How's your heart these days? This week, I do what I always do. And I open my Bible and begin to pray. And when I spend time with the Lord, I always have a little book where I just want to write down anything that he speaks to me. And as I began to pray and just spend time with the Lord this week, not reflecting on the message, just going through a devotional, all of a sudden, the Lord began to speak to me about my own heart. How many of you know he has permission to do that? You know, at Christmas time, there comes a lot of expectations to make it magical or to somehow feel something that you may or may not feel. You know, some of you, this may have been a difficult year. And so when you think about this season, kids just get to be kids. And so as you think about this season, I understand. You know, that sounds exactly how like I was spending time with the Lord this week. Truthfully, it does. And guess what? God doesn't shun you away. I mean, I'm grateful the parents take their kids outside. That's good. But I want you to know that God doesn't ever push you away. And so there's three things here. Two are really personal that I'm not going to tell you. But the one was, Christmas is supposed to be a time where we have expectant hearts for what God is going to do. But somewhere in all of the weight and responsibility of life and leadership, I felt like I had all of the expectations on my shoulders. This isn't a therapy session where I get to pour out my heart to you, and I don't believe it is. But here's what I want you to know. One of the things that has changed in my years of leadership is this, is that people used to listen charitably, and now they listen critically. Sometimes we are coming in with a predetermined filter. We are waiting to hear something, or we are listening to hear, but we're not listening charitably. So I know for a lot of ministers, it's difficult. And sometimes it can come with expectations where you can fall into, man, I gotta say this right, or I don't say this right, or I please this person, or I offend this person. And here's the challenge. The more a pastor begins to please, the less prophetic they become. So I spent time with the Lord, and I felt like the Lord just say, you have some unhealthy expectations in your heart, and I want to uproot those things. Here's all I'm saying to you. O radix is an invitation from the Lord for some of you not to just receive and do more, but to let God take something from you that may not be yours to carry. You are not the savior of the world. You are not the Lord of the world. You are not the healer of the world. You are not the judge of the world. he is. And so sometimes we need to let the Lord uproot some things from us so that he can fill us. Or I'll hide my book so that you can't see what's in it. It's top secret. So that he can fill us with more of himself. So this week, as I got ready to preach this sermon, there's three things that the Lord is saying, give me those. I want to uproot them. Two, I want him to take. One, I wish he didn't say, but he is good. How's your heart these days? You know, once you see it and once you understand that the gifts that God gives are sometimes we receive, and sometimes before we can receive, he needs to remove, and then we are filled. Once you see that, as you read the Christmas story, you're going to see it all over the story. As angels invite Mary and Joseph to root their trust in God, in both of their lives, the angel says, we got to uproot. Don't fear. We got to uproot fear. We got to take it from your story. Wise men, they see a star, as Angie was sharing her testimony during worship, that wise men see a star and they follow it, which again, you just think like, yeah, what it means is they have to uproot themselves from where they are and follow where it is that God is leading. What may God be uprooting from your life that you're following this season that isn't maybe going to make you more like Jesus? Maybe it's making you more cynical or more angry or more frustrated. Maybe it's just making you feel stressed out. What are the things perhaps that God wants to remove so that he could replace them with more of himself? There's even a little story that a little bit older, that one day Jesus uproots himself from Mary and Joseph. And he is found in the temple about his father's business. And at first, as good parents, they're furious with their kid. Like, what in the world? Why didn't you at least tell us where you were going? Right? They have this parental moment. And then they remember, right, he's not just our kid. He's got a heavenly father whose business he's about. And they have this moment. See, once you see this rooting and uprooting, you'll see it everywhere. And so on this Sunday, abiding in Jesus, rooting in Jesus, oratix, means a gift that we allow the Holy Spirit is permission to root and uproot things in our lives. Can we do something together? But I'm not done yet, but we're going to pause in the middle here. Some of you are like, you're already praying? Relax. Just put your hands in front of you just like this. I'd be honored to lead you in prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, you have permission to root and uproot in my life. Is there anything that you want to speak to me about my heart today? Okay, now let me just pray for you, Heavenly Father. I pray that you would speak to each of us if there are things that you wish to root us in or uproot us from so that you can fill us with more of yourself. In the midst of a lost and a broken world that overwhelms our hearts, Father, in this moment, we take our overwhelmingness and we give it to you, and we acknowledge that just as it was true 2,000 years ago is the same today, that we need a Savior. We don't got it in and of ourselves. And so come, Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said this, every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted. Can we slow down there? He said, every plant. You're like, every plant? Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Jesus then warns us that sometimes distress, which is just pressure from the outside, and even persecution, which is harm from the outside, can affect the growth God desires to produce in our lives. Matthew 13, verses 19 to 21 says, "The one sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but he has no root and is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away." Rooting is so very important. Again, it's not just receiving Christ, it is abiding, it is rooting in him. And then Hebrews implores us to pursue peace with everyone, even your in-laws that are coming soon. You better prepare a lot of table games. Prepare lots of distractions. The one thing you don't want coming up at Christmas is politics, just telling you right now. Just kidding. Hebrews implores us to pursue peace with everyone by abiding in the grace of God. Pursue peace with everyone in holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. And make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God. And this is what it says: no root of bitterness. A root is really small, but from it, it has constant supply. Let no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. And make sure that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau who sold his birthright in exchange for a single meal. In other words, the imploring of Hebrews is, don't exchange what God has for something so very temporary. Don't root in the stuff that doesn't last. Root in, oh, radix, oh, root who is and forever will be. And so once again, Jesus illustrates a different dimension to gift giving that I want you to consider today. We often think of gifts as things we receive, but sometimes God's greatest gifts, the ones that he gives, are things that he also removes to fill us with more of himself. And so before we take a moment in song just to behold the Lord as a prayer, I brought a chair that I never sat down except for 1 second. I won't bring it back next service, but I'll have it for the third because I'll be tired by then. And it gives something for my undergarments to hang on to when I sit down. Couldn't resist, sorry. 52 trapped in an 8-year-old boy's body. That's the problem. But before we take a moment in song, as a prayer, I just want to read 7 verses that the Apostle Paul spoke to a church in Ephesus that was struggling to root in the Lord as he was uprooting some stuff from them. Here's what he said. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And then he said these words, "I pray that you," and it's my prayer for you, "being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we think or ask, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and forever. Amen." And for the single mom, who this week I heard had no hope that her life was going to be any different, in Jesus' name, together we pray that she would know that there is a love that is greater than any material gift that can be given and discarded quickly. There is a God who can change everything about her life. The only reason, Life Center, we give cups of cold water like we shared at the beginning is begging God for the opportunity to share that he has living water that your soul has need of. And so if you are here today, I don't want you to behold the season. I want you to behold Christ. And in doing so, let him root and uproot from your life, because both are gifts that he gives us in his Son at Christmas. Let's just listen together.